It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arkin. That is Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. A beautiful day here in the Commonwealth. Hope you're enjoying it as a lot of people getting back to their regular routines. Kids going back to school. People going back to work. Summer's over. And it looks like the Red Sox season is as well. We will start there here today as the Red Sox find themselves now with a 12% playoff percentage. And going further backwards, which, by the way, I take one small issue with what Will Fleming said there in that final call. He said the offense stuck in neutral. It's in reverse. The offense is going backwards. I don't know where the offense is going to stop, but at this point, I think saying it's stuck in neutral is being far too kind to this horrible offense, which, by the way, doubled their run output for the first time in a while. Actually managed two runs against the Mets last night. Not enough nearly as the Mets getting a ton of runs there late in the game, and the bullpen falling apart once again. No offense, no bullpen. We'll talk about it all today with Alex Cora, who will be joining the show at 3:30. He's going to be on the bus, so we'll have him call in sometime around 3:30, we're hoping. And also today, very excited, it will be the debut of Adam Schefter on the WEEI Afternoon Show in its current form. I know he'd been on before, so he'll be making his triumphant return to the WEEI airwaves. Adam Schefter, who I'm sure is very busy right now writing an article about Ja'Marr Chase, who was spotted out at practice for the Bengals. I'd imagine also the wise guys in Vegas have a lot going on there as they scrambled to put the line back to where it was before they thought Chase wasn't going to play. So we'll start right there with the Red Sox as we open the show. Andy Hart, how you doing?
I am tremendous, except for the fact that I watched the Red Sox, and I tuned in to a 2-1 ball game that then quickly got out of hand.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why Will Fleming was so excited that the game was over.
He was a little upbeat there at the end, wasn't he?
Maybe just the game was over and he was ready to get on with his night and
go
get a drink somewhere or something, a steak and a beer somewhere. Nope, same old, same old. Can't if you can't score runs, it's really hard to win baseball games. And another pitching performance that was good enough to win a baseball game. And yet the lineup, despite doubling their output from the previous three games when they were a one-run baseball team, you're also not going to win a lot of baseball games by scoring just two runs either. And that's the reality. And to me, it all starts and ends. And I know we're going to get into this on multiple levels, and we can talk to Alex Cora about it. Devers, the Devers thing we've been talking about,
yep.
he stinks right now. Last night, he got lucky. I don't know if you saw the like seven hopper that Lindor misplayed. He went for a double play and ended up getting nobody out because your power hitter hit the ball so weakly that everything was happening so like, and it was almost like, oh, maybe that's a good thing. He got on base. The guy's safe at second.
He didn't get a hit for that, though, right? He ended up being 0 for 4, so that was what they call that, a fielder's choice.
It was a fielder's choice.
A fielder's choice that he didn't get anybody out on.
But you were almost excited about like a six-hopper to the shortstop that he didn't get an out on from your $313 million player, and that's just where it is. He is scuffling the shoulders. Then it was just magnified last night. And this is one of my pet peeves, and people are going to hate this because I know they hate when reporters bitch about access and players and quotes and all this.
So, well, yes, this is...
But he's not performing well, and then he compounded it by making the media wait around and then not talking to the media. And this is an ongoing issue. We talked about it before, I think you and I, when Alex Cora joked when he was announcing their All-Stars. And our guy, who doesn't want to hear that he's the face of the team, but is the face of the team, Rafi Devers, is an All-Star. And it's like, why is this a joke? Why is it? It's not a joke. It's not a joke. He should be, on some level, a face, a leader, and a spokesman for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, he's none of those.
Yeah. When things are going well, when the team's winning, you'd put up with that. You don't mind, you know?
Manny Ramirez, if he's going to hit 40 home runs, yeah.
Wasn't jumping in front of every microphone he could back in the day, and no one cared because Manny Ramirez was part of a team that broke a curse and did all this other stuff, and he was one of the best right-handed hitters in the history of the game.
Devers is part of a team that you want to blame Alex Cora for falling apart at the end of every season. Why don't you blame Devers?
I do blame Devers. I don't blame him completely.
You seem to blame Cora more than Devers. Why isn't it Devers' team that collapses every summer when he tends to run out of gas and get banged up? A guy who, I don't know, doesn't look like he's always in the best shape. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He's not in the best shape.
He seemed like he was in decent shape this year, but his shoulder, I mean, that shoulder injury happened in the first week of the season, and it doesn't seem like it ever got any better, and it doesn't seem like the other one got any better either. So, yeah, you're talking about a guy who's banged up all the time, a guy who's actively hurting them at the plate right now. Mm-hmm. Cora spoke and said that he's going to change the lineup up today. Cora said he's going to have Devers batting second instead of batting cleanup. I'd sit him. I mean,
oh,
I think
more
at this point,
bats for the guy who can't hit.
Time to sit this guy down, and not because I think it's waving the white flag. It's to help the team. It's to try and get someone in there who can give you something at the plate. Devers is a superior hitter to Romy Gonzalez or Rob Refsnyder or whoever the hell, you know, Manuel Valdez or anybody else that you want to put out there. I think we all agree with that. No one's gonna argue with that. When
he's
right,
supposed to be. Yeah.
He's a much better hitter than those guys.
Not sure he is right now.
He's not better than anyone right now. I mean, he can't do anything.
So can you answer a question for me? Because, again, you've been, I was in the Patriots world for portions of the spring and summer. You do this day to day. Where do these shoulder injuries come from? What are they?
The first one, and I can't speak to the second one, but I can tell you the first one was when he was diving for a ball at third base.
Okay.
And he landed awkwardly on it, and it never really fully healed, I don't think. He may have exacerbated it, may have gotten worse, with wear and tear. And he does swing very hard, so, I mean, it could be just as simple as that. But, yeah, that was the first one. I don't know about the second one. The second one just kind of popped up. There was never really an explanation for it.
So there's some vagaries here as to what they are. Are they... you know, injuries that are, you know, considerations for surgery or anything down the road. Like, I'm a whole old hardo from the football world where there's that difference between are you hurt or are you injured? Like, you can be banged up and something sore and you play through it. This has been going, didn't he skip the All-Star because of this?
Yes.
Okay, didn't get better. Then a week ago, he was out of the lineup for multiple days. Didn't get better. So he's injured, correct?
Yeah.
He's dealing with it. This isn't soreness or like he's legitimately injured and it seems to legitimately be affecting his performance.
He was dealing with shoulder soreness back in March. Okay. So back during spring training. This
How
was
do you
thing.
Let a person that is a $300 million asset deal with the same thing over the. Now, he was great at portions of this season. So clearly at some
point. He's having a tremendous season.
Was not
even
at,
with the shoulder being a problem. So.
And now he may scuffle to get to 30 home runs. Because he is terrible right now.
Yeah. The timeline on Rafael Devers and his shoulder issue starts on March 29th. That's when he was first popped up on any injury report with shoulder soreness. On April 11th, that was when he dove for the ball and landed on it awkwardly, and that's when it sort of popped up as a thing. 4/18, April 18th, bone bruise. He missed time in April. I do remember this. And on June 8th, he was dealing with a knee injury that kept him out for a little bit. But the shoulder thing has only really come up as a... you're right, a vagary. Well, he's dealing with shoulder. He's really trying to play through the shoulder thing. The shoulder thing's really a problem for him. Okay, if it's such a problem that he's going through a whole month now in August, another month where it's, you know, the team's falling apart all around him, then you got to sit him down.
I don't want to call for an impromptu sniff test, but does this pass the sniff test?
That his shoulder's hurt?
That there was one shoulder that started in the spring. There's a second shoulder, and the shoulder in the spring is so bad that it's continued to be an injury the entirety of the summer, despite skipping All-Star, despite sitting out. I don't know. My sniffer is picking up on something here.
He hasn't missed a lot of time. And over the course of his career, I mean, he doesn't have this reputation, but over the course of his career, Rafael Devers has been pretty durable. You know, he's played about 140 games or more in most of the seasons that he's played.
But is he always hurt?
I mean...
feels like he's always hurt, but
he might also be, but he puts up numbers. You know, last year he played 153 games, 33 homers, 100 RBIs. Like, if he was hurt last year, it didn't slow him down to the point where he couldn't put up all-star caliber numbers. And this year he was on pace for that, too, until this last month. Up until this last month, 28 home runs, 80 RBI, was hitting about 285. That's dropped now considerably over the course of August, where he was hitting just over 200. And, yeah, I mean, listen, this guy's your best player. I think we, other than Jaren Duran, we asked Cora about that. Who's the MVP of this team? He said it's Duran, but also Rafael Devers. And Devers has not held up his end of the bargain here in the second half of this season. Duran has. By the way, Durant's still out there killing it. The offense in general, I'd say, has not been great. But when you have Devers just going into a funk like this and unable to really get out of it with all these opportunities, he's had opportunities with runners on base, low impact, high stress situations, and it just doesn't matter. He just can't get out of the slump. And, you know, you want to call it a slump? No, they don't. They want to call it injury-related. If it's injury-related, now's the time. I mean, you got to do something about
this. Right. If you're on the field, if they keep putting you on the field, then I expect you to perform. And if you don't perform, it's a slump, whether it's aided or induced by whatever pain you have in your shoulders, right? Like, you don't put a guy out there to hit 200. You put him out there with the expectation that he's going to be a positive aspect of your team. So therefore, the injury can be an excuse. And I always say, excuses are reasons given by losers.
Right.
And at home plate right now, he's a loser, right? I don't mean that as a shot. He's losing most of the battles he has with pitchers at home plate. He is not helping the baseball team, and then he's making matters worse, I feel like, by this team needs leaders right now, right? When you scuffle.
Absolutely.
That's why I think you've painted Alex Cora in a certain light in recent weeks. You know, time to lean on the manager. We gave you an extension. You're the big money manager. It's your job. Hey, don't come to batting practice today, guys. Don't come in for infield. Oh, it worked. Oh, good job, manager. Good job,
Skip. The only two games they've won in the last 3 weeks. So the games they didn't show up.
He's your leader.
That's really it, yeah.
And your other leader should be Rafael Devers, who should be doing something to help the baseball team that is scuffling and missing an opportunity. There's an opportunity lost. Wasted days was Alex Cora's words, and I love it. These are wasted days because the Royals stink worse than you do right now, and yet you're not picking up any ground. Eventually, they're going to snap out of it. You're probably going to snap out of it, too. You won't continue to be as bad as you've been, but you've missed the opportunity to close the gap, and your two leaders, are they doing enough to sway the momentum in the other direction? And I would argue, from Devers' standpoint, if you can't do it physically, can you be a motivational factor? You're supposed to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
We pay you a lot of money. You're a central figure. You're the best player. We all know this. And I don't think he's doing his share on the field or off the field.
Yeah. Speaking to the point of his share off the field, Christopher Smith was the one who had the tweet about this last night. It was a tweet that definitely blew up and got a lot of traction, a lot of retweets. I wouldn't say he got ratioed, because that would imply there were more quote tweets and replies than there were likes. And that's not necessarily true. I get 224 likes, 132 replies, 115 retweets. So that's not a ratio. But it did get a lot of engagement, and it wasn't super positive towards Chris Smith or the media or whatever. I like Chris. We've had him on our shows before. Very, very good reporter. He tweeted this last night. He said, Rafael Devers still sitting in his locker. Game ended at 9:45. He got up from the locker at 10:04, walked out, came back a few minutes later, and sat down at his locker again. He remains there. Rafael Devers did not speak. The media waited for him until 11. He was informed about an hour ago by the PR staff that we wanted to talk to him. He could have just said no then. Instead, he made everyone wait and then refused to talk anyway. And the response was largely, when?
Exactly.
I mean, that was mostly what it was.
Yep.
And I understand what Smith is saying. And listen, that's a job that I'm glad I don't have. It sounds like a lot of sitting around and waiting around and just being around naked dudes all the time. Not really the thing that I'm looking to do. But they do provide a valuable service. That is what they do. I mean, they sit around and they hang out with naked dudes. I mean, that's a big part of the job.
I did it for a lot of years, too, down
in
Gillette.
Absolutely. And the idea here basically is, no one's ever going to feel bad for you, you know, like media members. They're not. Unless a player assaults you. Like, unless a player picks you up and slams you through a wall. And even then, fans are going to probably side with the player. Well, what'd you say? Like, you know, you must have been asking for it. You must have made him mad somehow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're never, ever going to side with you. So I understand what he was going for with this. I wouldn't have sent a tweet out like that and expected any kind of sympathy. But that is not necessarily what this conversation is about. It's about Rafael Devers and accountability. And Xander Bogaerts, win or lose, draw, whatever, he'd come up there and he'd talk. He'd come talk after the game. Cora speaks after the game. He doesn't blow off the media. Rafael Devers choosing not to talk to the media while the team is free-falling, and his batting average in the last month has gone from 304 to 279 is soft. I'm sorry. That's just soft. And I know he's playing through something. I'm not saying he's soft physically. It's just you've got to be accountable, and he's not.
Absolutely. And this reminds me a little bit, and I think we all had these on our high school football teams, the kid you lose on the road, and he wears his shoulder pads and helmet the entire bus ride home. Like, he cares about the sport more than anybody. Like, sitting in front of your locker and making the media wait, with there was somebody described like he had his hands behind his head, like in frustration. Okay, that's great. I believe you care. I'm assuming you're a professional and you have some accountability, but part of your job is to just turn around and express how much you care to those people waiting. And you probably could have gotten away with like two answers, right? Just feed the wolves. Just throw a steak so that they can all throw it back at their editors and move on for the night. I like to get the texters involved. I got to get the texters involved real quick. So
do we have to get the texters involved?
Yeah, we have to.
All right.
The 207. So I'm assuming that's up in Maine.
Is that 207 Maine? Is Maine. Yes, okay. That's Maine. That's
multiple
Maine
Andy Hart sucks. Andy Hart this. Andy Hart, known fraud. Why am I a known fraud, first of all? What does that mean?
I don't know. Did you do something in Maine?
No, I don't think so.
Did you promise somebody something in Maine and then reneged on it?
Calling pro athletes out for apparently faking injuries. Clown show. When did I say he was faking
injuries? You didn't say he faked
an
injury.
No, I want to know more.
Right.
I don't know what's going...
You want to know how serious it is and if it should be affecting him this much.
There's a chance it's the other way.
Faking it, yeah.
Like, we had one texter that's just threw out there, and I'm telling you there's no credibility in this. I don't know the 603 to be a doctor, but just says, sounds like labrum tear. I have no idea whether that's true or not. I think there is a chance he's dealing with something more significant, which is probably a reason to consider stop putting him in the lineup, to shut it down, because it's not working for him. He is not capable over the last month of producing at the level we would expect from him. So therefore, like, there feels like a reason for that. He's a good enough player with a long enough track record. He's not one of these young guys that I talk about sustainability. No. He proved worthy of a $300 million contract. I think we all pretty much liked the contract. You kind of had to, because you let the other two go and you decided he was the last one standing.
Yeah.
But
you let him go and there would have been a mutiny.
Right.
I mean, there basically was anyway.
But he's a really good player.
Yeah.
We know he's a really good player. And
sure.
Right now he looks like a really not good player. So I tend to believe there are shoulders involved. One, two, both, don't know. So I have not accused him of anything, 207. Another 207 says, not all Mainers hate you, Andy. So at least we split the vote up in Maine. There's also a Hart is a sex machine there.
I tweeted that one. That was me.
But no, I'm not accusing him of faking the injuries. I want to know more about the injuries. In this day and age, I feel like we generally know more. Like David Hamilton. He broke his finger and it usually takes 6 to 8 weeks, but he wants to come back faster. So he's going to steal bases as soon as like a week. Like, can I have that kind of information on Devers' shoulders? I feel like I got a really lot of information on timetables and injuries for David Hamilton's finger. Let's put our finger on what's wrong with the shoulders of your best player, your $300 million asset.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you here. People starting to call in already with thoughts on Rafael Devers and Alex Cora. Alex Cora, by the way, who we'll be talking to here in about an hour. Injuries is a topic that comes up a lot. I feel like the last couple of years, Red Sox fans who don't want to face reality say things like, well, you know, it might have been different in August and September last year if it wasn't for all those injuries. You heard that in 2020. You definitely heard it in 2019. You heard it last year. And I don't feel like you're hearing it that much this year. I feel like this year you're not hearing that same kind of, well, you know, Garrett Whitlock was out and, you know, you lost Brian Baio for a while and Tyler O'Neill keeps coming in and out of the lineup. I feel like Red Sox fans aren't buying that anymore. That's not a viable excuse anymore. And you're not hearing Red Sox fans defend the team or defend this downfall or anything like that with the injury excuse. Now, it's because probably Devers is playing through it. If Devers had been shut down, I don't know, a month ago or 2 weeks ago in the middle of his big slump in August, then you could say, well, you know, they were only 4.5 games out of the wild card, and then they had to shut down their best hitter, so, you know, what do you expect? But him playing through it kind of erases that, doesn't it? I mean,
well,
like,
for him.
You know, well, for the whole team,
what
I
about
think.
Story? What about Casas? I actually think this is a year where you can point to injuries, their entire trade deadline haul, in quotes.
Right.
Right? Except for,
I mean, those guys
Jansen.
Being injured, they weren't good when they played.
No,
so.
But it doesn't, I mean, you.
Paxton, maybe.
You penciled them in for roles
right.
that they can't fill. So other guys are filling those roles. David Hamilton, we've talked about him being a late injury here that is surprisingly impactful. But Casas and Story right off the bat, isn't that two of your four best hitters, supposedly?
Is Trevor Story one of your best hitters?
Well, does he not make $20 million a year, or does he?
Well, okay, make him your highest paid player. Doesn't
John Henry
necessarily
told me that was a
best
big
hitter.
Contract.
It is a big contract.
And
does that mean he's your best hitter? I mean,
means he's a big money player.
I don't know. I don't know if I take him over Rafaela these days. And that's the
Probably
thing.
Wouldn't.
he's been out so long that you wonder how effective he's going to be if and when he ever comes back. I know he's working through Worcester now, and they're eventually going to get him back out there, but at this point, it's going to be sort of moot. I wonder, you know, how effective is he even going to be once he does come back? That many injuries, that many times in a row? Eventually a guy at his age is going to stop being as effective, certainly at the plate. So I guess we'll see. Cassis, I'll give you. You know, he missed a lot of time, but I don't feel like the offense really slowed down all that. When Cassis was out, you know, the offense seemed like it was chugging right along there, and they were able to, you know, Dom Smith or whoever, they were able to fill in the gaps, and other guys picked up the slack. It doesn't seem like those were the reasons. It seems like it was just a thin roster in general. And then that was not, you expect there's going to be injuries, right? Every team deals with injuries every single year. That's not unique to the Red Sox. And I think what people are starting to get this time around is that if you keep putting a thin roster out there, it's going to keep getting exposed in August and September. And also, Alex Cora is not able to pull the train back on the tracks either, for whatever that's worth. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll hear from Alex Cora, who had some things to say that I don't necessarily agree with after the game. We'll get into all of that. But first, here's Turf.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
With what's trending. Alex Cora after the game. Do you agree with that, by the way? Do you think this is a good offensive team that's having a bad stretch, or is this closer to what they actually are?
I think it's a mediocre offensive team that was playing above its head.
I think that's...
And especially if Devers is hurt.
Right.
I mean...
Devers hurt.
You can't possibly...
Passes out.
If I take the Yankees and remove Soto or Judge, isn't that a significant blow?
Sure.
So he's your Soto and Judge. He's your Otani or Betts, whatever. Any team where you take your $300 million player, there should be a significant drop-off, because if there isn't, then why are you paying that guy $300 million?
It's a great question, one that we can ask, we can't really ask Alex Cora that, but we'll ask him other things when we talk to him in about an hour from now. In the meantime, let's get to your phones at 617-779-7937. We'll begin with, let's do this diplomatically, who's been waiting the longest? That would be Brett in Boulder, Colorado, where I just was. Hey, Brett, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm going to take the maybe the unpopular opinion in Boston, but I really struggle with that extension for Alex Cora based upon kind of looking at the entire body of work. And one thing I think that people tend to overlook with Cora is, one, yes, he's very close to a wild card position, but he's also very close to finishing last. Three and a half games out of finishing last for the third time in his Red Sox career, which mm-hmm. would be, and you can check my facts on this, which would be the first manager in Red Sox history to finish last place in the division in all of Red Sox history. And you
that many times, like, I mean, it wouldn't be the first one to ever do it, but maybe that many times in a row, it's possible. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at that. He'd definitely be the first one to do that recently.
Well, he was also the first manager of the small market Red Sox.
That's fair. Since the Henrys took over, I guess. I mean, back in earlier 2000s,
I mean, I guess
in the 90s
guy who,
and 80s and stuff.
Who managed after they traded Babe Ruth, sold Babe Ruth, is probably the first manager of the small market. Right?
That was, I'd say that was pretty small market move there to fund his play. But yeah, Alex Cora now, I mean, we'll see where they end up finishing here in the standings. But whether it's last place or they finish in third place, but 25 games out of first in the AL East and 10 games out of the wild card. It's not. It's all. That's all kind of the same to me. That's all relative at this point. You know, you're talking about another second half collapse. If Tampa Bay and Toronto just happen to be a little bit worse than you are, then that doesn't make me feel any better. Like last place or not last place is sort of just a figurative thing here. What's important and what I think is the most harrowing part of all this is, yeah, you just gave an extension to a guy who's now shown that in the second half of these seasons, his teams just cannot focus. I mean, they don't. They look dull and lifeless. They all the good things they do in the first half, they just stop doing. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of adjustments being made. You know, I don't know. I have a hard time. I have a hard time squaring that away.
What adjustments?
Adjustments.
Like, what could he do? I'm trying to think right now. So his best hitter stinks. Mm-hmm. Probably shouldn't be playing.
Right. That's an adjustment you can make right there.
Not play him. Sure.
Sit him. Yeah.
But does that make you any better? You just acknowledge, well, now my best hitter isn't playing.
Well, if the guy you put in hits higher than 206, then yes, it does make you better.
But the point is, you still lost your best hitter. Whether he's playing and he stinks or he doesn't play, you lost your best hitter.
Fine, but that's an adjustment that you make when your best hitter's actively hurting your team.
So you don't. I guess my whole point here is, I think part the biggest challenge for this team is the same as it's been every year: talent, proven talent, tentpole talent, longevity, sustaining talent. Like, I am optimistically surprised that Jaren Duran didn't tail off this year, like I thought he might.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing long term. But the reality is, this is a duct tape and Toradol roster. This is not a, wow, roll it out there, and this is a talented base, especially when you start to take into account. And you're right. It's weird. I think people don't acknowledge the story and Casas injuries as much because the lineup was good as piecemealed together. But they faded. And maybe because he's been talking a lot about young guys fading and, you know, the point in the season, blah, blah, blah. What if, you know, you hadn't had those injuries? Then these young guys could be stepping up now, or these guys that are maybe niche players that maybe can give you a month or two of good baseball but aren't going to give you a full season of mm-hmm. good baseball. If you were able to piecemeal that together later in the season, maybe that'd be different. I just think the biggest challenge this team has is the biggest challenge it's had for 4 or 5 years, talent.
Yeah.
They're not that good. I don't believe it. It's a baseball team that was good offensively, not a good offensive baseball team. That's how I would spin that. They were good offensively. You can't argue with the numbers and what they were doing, right? Those were facts. Those were on the field.
Yeah.
Those were in the stat sheet.
They were in the top team in home runs for part of
the
year.
But were they really? You know what I mean? Like,
the
numbers said it, but your mind is like, I don't think that's going to stay that way.
Tyler O'Neill hit a bunch of home runs in the first month of the
season.
What's
he doing now?
And then, yeah, he got hurt, and he's been in and out of the lineup this whole time. And, yeah, that's been a problem.
And he's Tyler O'Neill. No disrespect to Mr. O'Neill. But he's not.
I wouldn't disrespect that guy.
Aaron Judge. Yeah. He's not Juan Soto, right? He's not. It was never sustainable in my mind. And I know he probably wanted to believe it was sustainable and that they were a good offensive baseball team and everything that was working was going to continue to work. But I don't know how realistic that was.
Yeah, he had 7 home runs in the first month of the season. He's got 25 now, so it's not like he fell off completely. But yeah, that was a start that you looked at and thought, okay, maybe they really got something here. Maybe they really found their diamond in the rough with this guy. And he's not been terrible. I mean, obviously, his numbers this year are pretty 254 with an 862 OPS, 25 homers is something that you'll take from a guy that you're not paying a whole hell of a lot of money to. But that was something that they were really counting on.
But if this were a good team, that would be your surprise, like 7 or 8 hitter.
Right.
On this team, you're like, well, he's our best right-handed bat, and he's one of our top core of season-long hitters. And then you're like, well, you're probably not that good then.
Probably not. Paul is in Rhode Island. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Again, congratulations.
Thank you.
I said that because I was sure last time if I congratulated you. Anyway, I'll take Devers as a DH for $300 million. I know Otani's got a part-time job just hitting the ball. And you know what? He's hurt too. Whatever. Now, let's get
Otani's
back to basics.
Hurt, okay.
As far as
his arms,
yeah, he's hurt. Well,
he can't pitch.
He's not pitching.
Right. No, whatever. But he's got, I don't know, 16 home runs more than Devers
million.
And like 40 steals more than Devers. But other than that.
Of course. It's L.A. and all that. Yeah. High payroll. Listen. As far as your show, as a consumer, can I announce something? Can I label your show?
Absolutely.
Yes. Why is it called the afternoon show when everybody's got their name out there? Why can't it be called? Can I invent something?
Yes.
Call it the Pastor and Hart Show.
The Pastor and Hart Show. You know what? That's not bad. The Pastor and Hart. Normally, he's referring to my Sunday show, or I go by the Reverend, not the pastor. But
you have like an alter ego.
The joke was that I had been doing weekends for so long that it was like, you know, they should just make me a priest. And so I started doing the Sunday service, and then I became the Reverend, and that was sort of my little character.
You know, character like Fitzy,
kind of like that.
Nick Stevens is Fitzy.
Basically, I didn't change my name, but yeah, it was Reverend
Christian Arkin.
The pastor. I mean, the Pastor and Hart. That could work. I'd really have to lean into the thing now. It's only funny on Sundays. You know, it's really only a joke on Sunday. The rest of the week, it's sort of like, well,
what exactly is a pastor?
Pastor is, I don't know.
Is that a priest?
Yeah.
Do you wear, like, the collar?
I believe if you wear the frock, yes. I think that's what you do.
If you called the show that, you would have to wear the frock to work.
Pastor is a minister in charge of a Christian church or congregation, which I think is the same as a priesthood.
Okay.
Sounds the same. I don't know. I have no idea. I should know these things.
If I were you, I'd want your real name in the show.
Yes, I would prefer that.
Because as the pastor, I feel like you're replaceable. You can just, like, Vince McMahon would replace you with a different character.
You call up Larry Johnson. He can come in. He was the teacher and the preacher. I remember listening to those guys. Yeah. Remember back in the day?
Yeah, but it was Mustard and Johnson.
Mustard and Johnson, the teacher and the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
That was like
your whole name is removed from Paul's idea.
Right. It's like the Wu-Tang Clan. You know, they got their names and they got their nicknames and they got their other nicknames and they got all these different nicknames. Like, that's basically what
pastor.
We're doing.
And Hart. I don't know. My name's in it, so I'm fine. So, good job, Paul.
I'll tell you, it's not the worst suggestion I've heard. I've heard worse than that.
And we're called the Afternoon Show because we're on in the afternoon.
Oh, that's why it is. Oh, because the show is on in
that.
The... Oh, okay.
Noon hits, and then a little while later, afterwards, we're on.
I thought it just sounded good. Johnny's on the Cape. Go ahead, Johnny.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Johnny.
A great show.
Thank you.
You know, I'm gonna say what I think about Deb is in the condition and where he's going. It kind of reminds me of, and I hope I say this right, Paulo Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval, you did say that right, but I don't. How does he remind you of Pablo Sandoval?
Out of shape.
Well, he's starting to look like a bowling pin. He's not a great defensive player, and I think he's heading down that track of going downhill in the direction that the way he's getting hurt in training. I think it'd be great to see him. If we can get some good arms for him and put some of the young guys back at third base and build off of that, because I don't think he's worth the money we're paying for him. And also, I'm not happy the way he treated the media, and that's super childish. I mean, you got to be a grown up to play the sport, and the whole thing just irritated me. I just think that's the direction he's heading.
All right, thanks for the call, Johnny. I don't think you have to worry about him being like Pablo Sandoval, maybe yet. Who knows? In a couple of years, it could be a different story. But he's still a very productive player.
And the biggest difference is Sandoval was not a power hitter.
Right.
You kind of have that idea.
He looked like he should have been.
Right, but he wasn't.
But he was not. Yeah.
Whereas.
He's a big slap hitter.
If Devers gets a little chunkier and becomes a full-time DH, you'd like to think he becomes like Cecil Fielder or somebody,
mm-hmm.
where he's just socking 40 home runs a year,
right.
You know, striking out. Maybe his average dips a little bit, but he's a pure power guy. Sandoval was like a fat non-power guy, which is a bad. Unless your name is Gwynn. Tony Gwynn,
right.
Being a fat, non-power guy is a bad thing, and Tony Gwynn was a one-of-one that will never be recreated.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn never swung and missed at a pitch ever in his entire career.
So his average went up when he had strikes. It was, like, the weirdest thing.
If Rafael Devers ever swings and misses and his belt explodes, like what happened with Sandoval that one year in, I think it was in spring training, a truly transcendent moment in fat guy sports, I'd say. Like, that, you know, there's times where you see, like, you know, David Wells and guys pitching out there, but when Sandoval's belt exploded, and it, like, exploded.
Oh, it absolutely did.
It went, like, that was an all-time fat guy sports
moment.
And
too early for his sake, because I feel like if it happened now, in this era of Fanatics sucks and Nike sucks, he could have just blamed it on, like,
hey,
no quality control with these Nike belts they give us. But back then, it was like, holy crap, he just blew up a belt.
Yeah.
There was no excuse.
That belt is in pieces on the ground. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls. I have a theory about the Red Sox and their pitching staff and why they're not winning and why investing in the pitching staff generally leads to good things. We'll get to all of that. And we also have a sniff test and spin zone coming up at some point in the show. We may have that next. It's Cutter Crawford.
Are we allowed to say what he just said?
A little graphic. Could have said rollover, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but, roll over and play dead. You're like, oh, yeah, dogs do that. He said
dogs also do the other thing that he said, the actual thing he said.
That's how they actually
do it. Dogs
do
that, too, yeah.
That's how you get puppies.
It's their style, in fact.
If you want to. Like the Discovery Channel.
Want to get descriptive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cutter Crawford.
I like their style.
I'm not a Not against it either. Cutter Crawford, who had a pretty good game, you know, pitched pretty well in that one last night. I feel like we say that a lot about it after his starts. Only one hit, two runs off that home run. It was a two-run home run. His last three starts have all been losses. His last four starts have all been losses. And his ERA now down to 4.08 with a record of 8-13. Similar to Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck has a good ERA and a mediocre record. It's interesting how the pitching staff on this team has really fluctuated over the course of the season. And I was thinking about what this team did in order to shore up their pitching staff. And really, you can point to two things. I'm talking about the starting pitching now more so than the bullpen. They signed Lucas Giolito in the offseason at $20 million per. He got hurt right away and was out. And they traded for James Paxton. And that's basically it.
Wait, you left one thing out.
Who's that?
They traded away the NL Cy Young Award winner.
They traded Chris Sale. That's true. They did trade him away. That and at the time wasn't considered such a negative move. No one expected him to go out there and be as nasty as he is now. Even if he was healthy, if Chris Sale was healthy all year, I wouldn't have expected him to be look this good. Like, he's an older pitcher. He didn't think he had that overpowering stuff anymore. He's been nasty in Atlanta. He's going to win the NL Cy Young, and that's unfortunate. But I think at the time, you were looking at that and didn't really consider it a major negative move to trade and move on from Chris Sale. I don't remember people saying that.
From Boston, certainly, because the Boston Red Sox are paying two-thirds of his salary. But right. I wanted to look it up, because if I remembered correctly, in the part of the trade, he signed an immediate extension with the Braves.
I think that's right, yeah. I don't remember what the terms were, but yeah, I think he did.
2 years,
away.
$38 million.
Mm-hmm.
So guess who thought he wasn't done?
Atlanta.
The Braves.
Right.
So they were right, you were wrong.
Well, it's we'll see. Simple. The next 2 years, we'll see if he is. But
No. If I get a Cy Young year, and maybe, who knows, maybe I get a World Series
run. Well, they were
going
to get that regardless. They didn't have to give him an extension.
Yeah, but they knew he wasn't done. You wouldn't give it to him if you didn't think you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like, two organizations looked at the exact same guy with the exact same track record, and one said, I'll give you two more years at almost $20 million a year, and the other said, I'll pay you to have him on your team, right?
Basically, yeah.
So they were wrong.
Yes, they were definitely wrong.
So it's not like, if this were just a pure salary dump, you're paying him to go pitch for somebody else and lightning in a bottle hit, but the Braves gave him $40 million the second he walked in the door.
Right.
So they saw something. Because we give a lot of credit to, like, Andrew Bailey, right?
They didn't see it last year.
No, but they saw something or believed in something. Actually, and Alex Cora saw it. If you go back to the pregame show last week, I was listening to him talk up how he thought Chris Sale threw the ball well last year. And he had confidence
when he was out there, he looked okay.
He might be turning a corner in terms of getting back to Chris Sale-dom. And clearly, the Braves saw that and loved it. But we bend over backwards, not the way he said.
Not the Cutter Crawford way.
Bend over backwards to say, like, Bailey saw something, right? And he changed something. Early in the year, it was all about fastballs versus off-speed pitches, and he saw something with his staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, you got that right. You got some of that right. You know what you got wrong? What the Braves got right.
Right.
Because they saw Chris Sale and said, we have an opportunity to pick up a $20 million a year pitcher. You know how I know they believed he was a $20 million a year pitcher?
Because they offered it to him right away.
Yep. So they were right.
Fair. They also didn't go through, you know, four straight seasons of just total frustration with the guy not being able to make it through a season. And
sure.
I think the Red Sox being closer to that is what deterred him from wanting to do something like that. And it's understandable.
Or the Red Sox being closer should have had more information.
Maybe. You know, maybe. I think this was a surprise.
I'm just spinning
to most
this.
People.
I think I'm spin zoning. I think every once in a while we sort of like organically come into a spin zone or a sniff test.
I'd say that's a pretty good one. The point I wanted to make here real quick is that the only moves that were made to shore up the pitching staff were Giolito and James Paxton. And clearly, I think even if both of those guys were still healthy right now and pitching all year, it wouldn't have really made that much of a difference. Paxton, I think, he already had his stint here. Giolito had a very poor year last year. You go back and think about last year when Corey Kluber was your opening day starter, and it's just like, you know, when this team wins World Series, 2004, Curt Schilling, right? They go out and they trade for Curt Schilling and they bring him in, and that was a huge impact starting pitcher. 2007, there was two of them. There was Josh Beckett and Daisuke he brought in. And those guys, Daisuke, before he started to come undone a little bit, was tremendous in those first couple of years. And Josh Beckett was a tried and true World Series hero. 2013, you had your own homegrown guys. That was like Lester and Buchholz. You had DuBront and, you know, a couple other guys come in. You traded for Jake Peavy in season. He was a big name starter. So there was still some of that there. And then in 2018, you had David Price and you traded for Chris Sale. There's a pattern here. when this team makes a conscious decision to go out there and spend on top flight, either free agent or trade for top flight pitchers in the league, it generally goes pretty well for them. It doesn't always hit. They don't hit every single time. But generally, when they win World Series, when they're competing for World Series, after an offseason where they did something, made some kind of commitment in that way. And they just haven't been close to that since 2018.
Well, and that's baseball. I mean, there's a reason those guys get stupid contracts that everybody bitches about later when the guy has Tommy John surgery and misses out. But it's so competitive because those guys change the games. Again, I like to quote my guy, Glenn Ordway, Big Show. It's all about the pitching.
Yeah. It's really all about high-end pitching.
And pitching you can count on. I keep going back to that. Every once in a while, you can catch lightning in a bottle with a young pitcher that comes on the scenes. And usually those guys are also high end, too. Mm-hmm. They're usually like top five picks or number one overall picks or whatever. You're heavily invested in them just in a different way early in your career. And usually you also have to heavily invest in them on the back end when they reach free arbitration first and then free agency. Pitching is really expensive because it's really important. Kind of decides everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to oversimplify the game of baseball, but especially in the postseason. There's a lot of, like, this offense can be good in the regular season. If they had somehow been a wild card team, and the offense was good all the way through, and that's what got you, I would have still expected this offense to stumble because I don't trust them. They're not built like this murderer's row lineup. They were good, and then I would assume they're facing really good pitching in the postseason.
And that's generally what happens in the playoffs anyway. Offense goes down. The Red Sox haven't been there in a while, but, you know, that's usually what happens. Right. You see the offense start to, and the pitching takes center stage. That's generally how that goes, no question about it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's head down to Rhode Island, talk to our good buddy Matt. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? I called on Devers, but can I comment on Andrew, on Bailey?
Sure.
I think he could get rid of I don't like Bailey at all. This whole pitching backwards thing, which I know everyone thinks he invented, which he didn't. I think it's terrible. I think in the second half, everyone's caught up to it. So, you know, you're just not mixing that up again.
Yep.
But Devers, he's an elite hitter, and he's a below-average third baseman. He doesn't have the attention span to play third base. It's been proven. And he's also responsible. You mentioned in Arcan that O'Neill was really hot at the beginning of the year. I don't know if you guys remember that massive collision that he caused.
That's right.
In left field. But, he does stuff like that. Like, you know, at the end of the year, it's all piled up. So you got to get rid of, you didn't have four DHs on the team. You could just DH him. But you got to get rid of Yoshida too. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Matt. That's not been, I don't, like, the defense in general, I think, has been sort of problematic this year. I don't think Devers has been outwardly bad. You know, I don't look at Devers and think, man, this guy's play at third base is really sinking this team this year.
No.
I feel like it's been sort of a mixture all around the bat. And the infield defense and offense, frankly, up the middle this year has been not great. You know, it's just been a tough, there's one point they had four or five shortstops all on the injured list this year. So, like, you know, that's a problem. They don't have the depth for that. And even when everybody's healthy, it's still not exactly the murderer's row that you were talking about.
I mean, your first
either.
Baseman was supposed to be Tristan Casas, missed most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Your second baseman was supposed to be Grissom, missed all of the year, essentially.
Right.
Your shortstop was supposed to be Trevor Story, has missed all of the year, basically, although I think he's on the verge of potentially coming back.
Just in time.
So you have Devers. Of your infield, you know, three of your four infielders are not the guys you projected, hoped, expected to be your infielders.
Right. Maybe that
as bad.
Maybe that would have
that
mattered.
Makes it hard.
Maybe not. I don't know that Vaughn Grissom.
Of course that matters.
I don't know that Vaughn Grissom necessarily would have been better than what you got right now. I mean, Trevor Story probably would be. I don't know for sure that about Grissom.
In retrospect, I would not pay the Braves $17 million and trade Chris Sale for Vaughn Grissom.
I probably wouldn't either. Coach is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes, a statement, a question, and a trade proposal.
Okay.
My statement is, every night I watch Rafael Devers, I love him as a ball player, as a hitter. But he gets up four times a game, and I have him down for over five swing at bad pitches every game. And I just don't think you can be an elite hitter if you're swinging at that many bad pitches. I get it that once in a while he hits one out of the park that nobody else could do. I just think he could be so much better with better pitch selections.
Okay.
My question, I never got the answer why Cooper Criswell was taken out of the game the other night. Maybe when I hang up, you guys can explain that. I think he had a perfect game going.
He certainly
did. And my trade proposal might be a little crazy, but Marcelo Meyer, the number four pick from a couple of years ago, straight up for Blake Snell. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for the call. Don't need the trade for Blake Snell. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's only on a one-year deal with San Francisco. Is that where he is? Yeah. So
Money.
And he, by the way, was not good to start the year. He's been very good lately and is probably going to get re-signed in San Francisco. But he is going to be a free agent. You can bid on him and try and get him that way. I wanted Snell this year. I wanted them to go out and get Snell and Jordan Montgomery. They didn't get either one and didn't really try. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, Patriots back at practice today. Gerard Mayo spoke to the media. Andy Hart was there.
Yeah.
And we'll get to all of that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.